Dear friends, forgiveness is a central theme in the Bible and the Christian life. This is because mankind desperately needs to be forgiven. Psalm 130 reflects a believer's experience of forgiveness. It says, "Out of the depth I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Friends, this psalm is part of a set of 15 psalms called Songs of Ascent. God's Old Testament believers traditionally sang them going up to worship in the temple. Psalm 130 begins by pointing to the deep anguish of the human soul struggling and longing for inward peace. "Out of the depth I cry." This reflects deep anxiety. The cry is addressed to the Lord. The psalm goes on to plead for divine mercy and then honestly identifies the concern. It is about an accumulation of sins or iniquities. Here we have a realistic and truthful recognition of what plagues all of humanity. All the sins we commit demonstrate selfishness, self-centeredness, blind greed, or foolish pride. This applies to sins of the heart as we desire to have or lust after that which is not rightfully ours. It applies to sins of the mind as we entertain negative thoughts. It applies to the hurtful words we say. Every day, we all struggle with sins of the heart, mind, and lips. While we might not admit our sins to others, inwardly, we cannot avoid sensing their heavy burden. Friends, the expression "out of the depths" is a candid admission of inward struggle with the heavy weight of human sin. Of course, some suppress that sense of guilt and refuse to admit it even to themselves. This might go as far as developing a mechanism of self-justification for wrongs committed. They become repeat offenders. Whether murderers, sex offenders, thieves, liars, or slanderers, self-centeredness overcomes all the remaining measure of humanness in the consciousness. It gives self the right to take advantage of others or inflict harm on them. Also, religion or ideology can lead to a sense of self-righteousness. People can become convinced that their own position makes up for the wrongs of selfish, proud, or greedy behavior. Self-deceived, they despise others who do not share their convictions or practices. Fanaticism can even make people blindly assured that whatever harm they commit in the name of their beliefs are rewardable good deeds. Friends, both habitual wrongdoing and self-righteous religiosity can blind us to the reality of our need for divine forgiveness. Psalm 130 demonstrates a healthy acknowledgement of personal sinfulness. It is addressed to the Holy God, who is not only almighty and all-knowing, but also gracious, merciful, and self-giving. Verse 3 speaks of him as one with whom there is forgiveness. The true living God of the Bible demonstrated his self-giving love in person, in full humanity, in the person of the promised Messiah. Regardless of the amount of our sins and iniquities, and despite the depth of our sense of depravity and guilt, there is hope. The fifth verse says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. This was the exact place of Noah, Abraham, and David, as well as other believers. They were conscious of their desperate need for God's provision of forgiveness. Their hope for forgiveness was not rooted in religious observances or good deeds. Instead, their souls patiently and confidently clung to God's promises. Yes, God's word promised divine provision of forgiveness. With the psalmists, they could address the Lord saying, with you, there is forgiveness. Friends, the hope of God's people enjoyed was promised in the seed or offspring of Abraham, coming through the woman. Both Old and New Testament speak of the woman as the nation through which the line of the Redeemer was preserved, along with the whole record of the divine plan for the provision of forgiveness. In the first chapter of his message to the Ephesian believers, the Apostle Paul was inspired to so beautifully speak of the fulfillment of this in our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Word. We read, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Friends, yes, there is divine forgiveness, full and free. This was mysteriously announced and prepared for in the Old Testament scriptures. The gracious and self-giving Almighty Lord took on himself the cost in Jesus, the promised Messiah. Hallelujah.